take your Bibles, please. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 10 through 14 together responsively. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. If you'll leave your Bibles out, we're going to use them tonight a little bit. And I want to help you tonight. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 14. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And let's finish on verse 14. Ready? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please help me. Help me to communicate tonight the truth. Lord, I'm really not pleased with how it's packaged, but may we look past the wrapping paper to look at the gift on the inside tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, if you missed this morning's sermon, let me challenge you to listen to it. It's a sermon that will help you the rest of your life. I preached on having a spoiled soul this morning, and you need to hear it. Most of us really don't know how good it is to be saved. Right. We really don't. No matter how good you think salvation is, it's way beyond anything you could think.
Yes, sir.
We Christians have no need to be timid. We Christians have no need to be intimidated by the world. We Christians have no need to feel inadequate outside the walls of this building. You see, we have no need to be afraid to speak up as a Christian. You're looking at one preacher that's bold, brash, and probably obnoxious, and not afraid to speak up for the Lord.
We'll agree. Amen.
The world should be afraid of us. We should not be afraid of it.
Amen.
I preach at funerals. I preach the gospel at funerals. I've been criticized by preachers who said, I don't think you ought to take advantage of a captive audience.
That's a perfect time.
I thought, why not, dude? You might wear lace on your underwear, but I don't. I don't give a flip. You see, we live in this world, even as Jesus had to live in this world. And though we live in the world, we don't have to live like the world lives. Brother Harry, could you shut that door a little bit? You can't hear it, but I can hear it echoing down the hall, and it's bothering me terribly. I'm hearing myself in stereo, and do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sounds like Obama or something. No, it's not that bad. Why do we want to live like we're headed for hell while we're on our way to heaven? That's a rough statement, but it is a very true statement. Why is it that as we grow in the Lord, we want to go back to what the world has to offer? Matter of fact, the book of Galatians says, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why do we live like the lost when we are saved? We argue like the lost. We have sinful tastes like the lost. We have bad attitudes like the lost. We sometimes get in trouble like the lost do. We break rules and break laws like the lost. And we say we're saved and on our way to heaven, but we live like we're on our way to hell. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. You see, he came here to live and give us salvation. Jesus, when he was born, as I said, Christmas Sunday, he didn't become man in Bethlehem's manger. He became flesh. Bible says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. It didn't say he was made man. It said he was made flesh.
John in Genesis chapter 3 said we were created in the image of God. Jesus has always been the man part of God. He came here to put on flesh that could die. He couldn't die in his heavenly body. I don't care how many preachers you've heard preach this. When he was in Gethsemane and he was sweating great drops of blood and he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He wasn't dreading Calvary. He was dreading the fact he thought he was going to die before he got to Calvary. He said, not my will, but thine be done. It wasn't that he was afraid of Calvary. It was afraid he wouldn't get to Calvary. He was afraid that all that he had done wouldn't be enough and that he was just that much short of doing everything he planned to do. He wanted to make it all the way. And he said, God, if you want me to die before then, it's up to you. But I came here to get to the goal line. By the way, he made it. Now, Jesus lived in the same world you and I live in. He faced the same temptations. He faced the same sin, faced the same problems that you and I face, yet he did it without sin.
Yes, sir.
Whew. I wonder if Jesus came to this generation today, like he did 2,000 years ago, I wonder how many people would reject him now. I wonder how many would reject Jesus now. I promise you, most of D.C. would. If you're saved, I want to share a sweet truth with you. John chapter 1, verse number 12 is a pretty famous verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I want you to know something. Them that received him, is that in reference to the saved or to the lost? Help me. Saved. In other words, when you get saved, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's that simple. So, in other words, but as many as received him, to the saved, he gave power to become the sons of God. Now listen to this. I'm about ready to have a spell. God showed me a wonderful truth in this recently. God makes one of the most amazing statements that we Christians pass by as we just glibly quote scripture or read scripture. And it is just one of the most amazing statements in the entire Bible. God tells us that when we get saved, he gives us power. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Now watch this. There is power in being a son of God. There is power in being a child of God. If you were the son of the King of England, you would have power. Prince Henry and Prince Harry and Prince Patrick and whoever they are. I don't know who they all are. But they have power. They have authority in the kingdom. Say why? Because of who their parents are. Who their dad is. Can I tell you something? God's my daddy. And that gives me power. You see, the power to be a son of God, the word power there is the Greek word dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. It literally is the word dynamite. Now, not like the guy on the 70s show, dynamite, but JJ, is that right? Phew. JJ and rerun. Okay, back to preaching. He said, preacher, how do you know? None of your business. You know who it was too, so it didn't matter. God, the Bible says, he gives us the dunamis, the dynamite, to be the son of God. Now, you're not just a child of God. You're not just saved. You have the power that goes with being a child of God. Did you get that? If you got saved, you're not just saved. You're not just a child of God. You have the power, the dynamite, the dunamis, the authority that goes with being a child of God. Can I tell you something? If you're a child of God, how about we start acting like it? Amen. Now, listen to me carefully here. We who are saved have power. We don't need to live sheepishly or timidly. We have the power of the Son of God Himself. Because we are a son of God. We are co-equal in authority and power as Jesus Christ when it comes to being in God. You are not perfect like He. You are not the begotten of the Father. But when you got saved, you became a child of God. That gives you power. You shouldn't be afraid to knock on somebody's door and witness to them. You shouldn't be afraid at work to tell somebody, I'm a Christian. We shouldn't be, well, I'm a Christian, I can't say anything. Says who? Preacher. Well, we're not supposed to pray at work. They can't stop you from praying. Amen. I'm not saying you lay down on the floor prostrate and say, oh, God, Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the other Boehm brothers. Okay, you're a Pharisee at that point in time. Jehoshaphat and all the other fat fellas. And, you know, but can I tell you something? I'm about ready to come unscrewed. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside you.
Yes, sir.
And the Holy Spirit is the power of God. And do you know you have the very same power of God that resurrected Jesus Christ from the grave? It is the power of the Holy Spirit that ignited Jesus to get him out of the grave and gave him life over the grave. You have the very same power that Jesus Christ had because you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in you the moment you get saved. I look at Donnie over here and how God has just transformed that man's life. Can I tell you how it took place? Because the moment he got saved, there's something that moved inside of him.
Amen.
30 how many services now? 36 services right in a row.
Praise God.
I got to be careful because next week it'll be 40-some and I'll be off. But can I tell you something? Say, how does that take place? Because the Holy Spirit of God gave him power. we're not supposed to go around bragging about power. That's not the power. Hang on here. I'll just say it. The healers, the feelers, and the squealers don't have the power.
You're right.
Jumping around bragging about, I got it. You didn't got it.
Right.
If you got to tell everybody you got it, you didn't get it.
Yep.
You might got to go somewhere, but you don't have it. When you get... what was that? Uphill, yeah. Real fast. It is the power of the Holy Ghost is the power that flows through you to be used of God. It's not power that you put on as a show for everybody else. Grace Baptist Church, are you living a powerful Christian life? As a child of God, are you living like a child of God in full power? Now listen to this. I'm not asking about powerful results. We let God take care of the results. We're supposed to live in power. We can't manufacture the results. Only God can. We had 15 plus saved at the funeral yesterday. That's miraculous, but that wasn't me, that's God.
Amen.
Somebody just had to have the power to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. I took 15 minutes and talked about a feller that I honestly never met. Had everybody listening and with me and laughing and captured his personality and said, if Tony were here today, this is what he'd want you to know. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And gave the gospel. Say, what happened? I had enough oomph in me to give them the gospel. Man, hands going up everywhere. Say, why? Because somebody was willing to take that power and use it, plug it in, let God take care of the results.
I didn't do anything special. I really didn't. My wife and I sat in the living room for an hour and listened to his wife and his sister-in-law talk about him, and I had three by five cards full of information. Shuffled it all together, put the Bible with it, put the gospel with it, and look what God did. Now, let me say something here. The results are up to God. Are you living with power as a child of God? I would like you to enjoy the power, the dunamis, the dynamite of being a child of God. Let me help you tonight. I've got about 20 minutes. Number one, the power we get when we get saved is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you what I mean. Turn in your Bible, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, we're going to read some scripture, and I'm going to read and holler and read and holler and read and holler, but hang in there. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, notice that's capital S, right? So that is the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Can I tell you something? We ought not be afraid to die. If you're saved, you should not fear death. Say why? Because the moment you stop breathing here, you're sucking air in heaven. We are not bound by the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is because of our sin. We are condemned to hell. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not going to die and go to hell. So we are not bound by the law of sin and death. Are we going to die? Yep, but we're not bound by it because our sin is cared for. Next verse. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the
Spirit.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the
Spirit.
For to be carnally minded is, but to be spiritually minded, notice that's a small s. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at me. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. And because of that, you are a child of God and you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And Jesus fulfilled it all. That's why he said, I will leave you another comforter. Another word for the Holy Spirit is comforter.
Yes, sir.
John chapter 14, verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance. He is the comforter. Now, verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now notice that. Remember I said it was the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus? Right there it is.
Yes, sir.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means give life to, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. In other words, what music you listen to, is it after the flesh or after the Spirit? What entertainment do we do? Is it after the flesh or after the Spirit? We shouldn't struggle with fleshly things because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Why do we want to listen to the world's music? Why do we want churches bringing the world to the church? No, we're supposed to come out of the world, have church, and not bring the world into the church.
Right.
That's why we're not going to have the bouncy balls. We're going to have song books. We're not going to have giant screens and put my ugly face all over it.
Praise God.
Thank God. Nobody happier about it than I am. Believe me. Look at verse number 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, that word mortify is the word kill, mortician. For if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the Spirit, small s, of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember John chapter 1, verse number 12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, not only by blood, but by adoption, because we were adopted into the family by the blood of Jesus Christ, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon, that means he was a southerner, that you suffer, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter what you're going through down here. It doesn't compare to what's going to happen when we get up there.
That's good.
And you want to complain that God didn't treat you fair? You want to complain that God took somebody early? You want to complain that you didn't get the toy or the trinket that you wanted? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Folks, everything Jesus is an heir of, which is everything God owns, which is everything, we're joint heirs with. Do you realize we have nothing to complain about? And it is his Spirit that communicates with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We have a power not just to become the sons of God, but we have a power because we are the sons of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. My wife and I are the only ones that legally and by birth and everything else can call that man dad. Now, to you, he's Mr. Bush or Brother Bush Sr. or Mr. Preacher's dad or whatever you call him. I call him dad. Some of you about had a heart attack when my in-laws were here and you heard my mother-in-law call me Craig. I'm Craig to them. You say why? Because that's mom and dad. My children don't call me pastor. They don't call me preacher. They call me dad. My daughter-in-law calls me dad, and I'm glad for that. They're the ones that can. I don't know anybody else calling me dad. We ain't having no more, just so you know. I'm not like Marcia going to walk around with another one. Did you notice? She didn't even say anything. That was the best part of it all. Yeah. When you get saved, it is the Holy Spirit that rebirths a dead spirit. It regenes, it regenerates. That is the word regeneticizes. It gives you the eternal genetics of God. That gives you the ability to live forever. It gives your spirit the ability to live forever. Otherwise, it would die because it's of the flesh and the world, which is under the law of sin and death. Now watch this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of each and every person that is saved. So what are you afraid of? Well, I just don't know if I could go out and tell somebody about the Lord. I don't know if I could handle knocking on doors. You have the power of the resurrection inside you. How could you not? It's not that hard. Number two, I got to hurry. The power of God is for living right and doing right. The power of God is for living right and doing right. It's not for show.
Right.
Amen.
If you stand up in church and start talking and jibber-jabber and start naming the motorcycles backwards and flipping and flopping on the floor, this preacher's going to come unscrewed and have you carried out.
Yes,
say why? Because that's not of God.
Right.
Well, I'm speaking in an unknown tongue. The Bible says those tongues were languages. And if only God understands it, he doesn't need you to make a show of it in front of everybody. You're a Pharisee. You're just trying to show off to something that, by the way, I've seen people do that to the devil too. the faith healers. They make a big show of their power and authority that God is, you know, the Ernest Angleys, and be healed in the name of Jesus. The Oral Roberts. Folks, anybody that's a faith healer, why would they have a hospital?
Amen.
Have you ever wondered? Oral Roberts University Hospital. Why did he need a hospital if he could heal people? The average Christian display of the Holy Spirit's nothing but a magic show. Hocus pocus. Everybody doing all right? The Holy Spirit's not a show.
Yes, sir.
It's the power of God working through you. Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? It's yesterday standing in front of that crowd who did not know who this Baptist preacher was and did not know what they were getting into when they walked in that door. But when a whole bunch of them got saved, that was the power of God. That was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. As I walked back from where my wife and Marcia and Leanne were, I walked to the pulpit thinking, okay, God, I'm scared. Here we go. You say, you were scared? A little bit. You would be too. I said, but God, I'll open my mouth. You fill it really fast. Not with my foot, please. See, it wasn't a show. The power of a son of God is to allow God and his word to work through us. God cannot, God will not work outside the confines of that book right there. Any preacher that tells you to do something contrary to that book right there, they're a liar. I don't care what their name is, including if this preacher does. This preacher gets up someday and says, I believe God, Tony, wants you to give up all your salary for the next month and give it to God and live by faith. That's not in the Bible, and you can mark it down. This preacher went nuts. Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid to say that. Say why? Because that's not spiritual. That's fleshly. If I'm such a man of God, how about I get on my knees and say, okay, God, how are you going to provide this? It's up to you. It's your work. We'll do our part. I don't know how you're going to fill it in. All of a sudden, the phone rings. Can you meet me at the property, preacher? Sure. Show somebody around the preacher, show them around the property and put a $15,000 check in your hand. Now, that's the power of God. Not from me. But the same day, I had just won my builder to the Lord, standing in the same spot. I wonder if that check would not have been written had I not won that man to the Lord. Everybody doing all right? I didn't know that man was going to come visit me and see the property that day. I was more concerned about winning my builder of my house to the Lord. God says, let me give you a blessing on top of that. Here you go. I need to get up and say, give it all. I'd like you to tithe double. Can I tell you how I'd like you to tithe double? Go out and reach a family and bring them to church, teach them how to tithe. I'd rather have twice as many people tithing than for you to give twice as much money. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. People need to get saved. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. Relationships need to that are difficult can be mended with the Holy Spirit. You know which one I'm talking about. We got a neighbor that's a bit obstinate. Yeah, she's really bad, I'm telling you. Actually, I'm probably the one in the neighborhood. No, but he's not necessarily a mean man, but he wants to run things a little bit. Yeah, he kind of is the nose of the neighborhood to know what's going on with everybody's business. And yet, after the funeral yesterday, he liked me. I've already got plans on how... I already know what I'm going to do. As soon as he said something to me, I knew exactly what I've got to do, and I'll do it this week. He's got a smoker grill just like mine. Oh, we became buddies real fast. Oh, he and I were talking. And I said, have you ever had deer meat on? He said, smoked deer meat? No. I said, I'm going to have to bring you some.
He said, "Do you like pheasant?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I love it." He said, "My son went pheasant hunting in South Dakota." He said, "I'm going to have him send us some." He said, "I'll get you some." He said, "You won't taste anything better smoked than pheasant." I said, "I don't care how you fix it. Just don't put it on my forehead. It'll slap my brains out getting to it." He laughed. He said, "What are you going to do?" "I'm going to fish for men. Let the Holy Spirit work on him." The Holy Spirit's there to reach people for God, not for yourself. That same fella said, "My sister called me. She's in a church like yours." He said, "She lives in Georgia." And he said, "I told her when she comes up here, I got a church for her to go to. My neighbor pastors it." He said, "She'll fit right in with y'all." I just laughed. One of the other neighbors said, "Now, I grew up Southern Baptist." He said, "I understood everything he said to me." I said, "I ain't going to church like I should, but I'm not a real bad guy." I said, "It's okay." I said, "You can come to church." He said, "Well, we're talking about it." I said, "Well, good." You see, our job is to reach people. But isn't it amazing? We have people coming to the church property, working on the church property, working on our building, that are inviting people to come to our church for us. I ain't never seen nothing like it. You say, "What is that, God?" God. God will be able to do his work when we live his word in his power. The Holy Spirit works within the confines of the word of God to give us his power to live his word so that we can reach more people and help more people. It's not for a show. It's not to say, I got it, and some jibber-jabber and speak in tongues and fall on the floor and flip and flop and holy roll and everything else. So, the power we get when we get saved is the Holy Spirit. The power of God is for living right and doing right. Number three, and I'll finish. Separation does not make you a son of God, but you will live separated if you have the power of God. We have to understand that the power makes us different. It's not being different that makes us different. Did you get that? We don't get the power by being different. We are different because we have the power. Too many people, that's why Jesus said, too many people are clean in the outside of the cup, but the inside's filthy and full of dead man's bones. That doesn't mean you clean up the inside only, but I'd rather you clean the inside up and have a dirty outside of the cup. Yes. I don't care how much dirt's on the outside of the coffee cup, but let's make sure the inside is at least rinsed out a little bit. Now, my coffee cup gets black and brown, and it's dirty to you, but it's conditioned to me. Amen? My coffee cup, you can put water in it, and it turns brown. It's okay. It's just coffee that's in it. Nothing else goes in that cup. I had one for 5 years, never got washed, just got rinsed out every once in a while. And I had a secretary who thought she was going to be real nice and clean my cup out. It was not Mrs. Barnes. I instructed her, she touches my cup, she's fired. But this secretary, part-time secretary, thought, "Man, preacher's cup's dirty. I better clean that for him." She cleaned my cup. Said it took her 15 minutes to get that cup clean. I came back and I about threw that cup out the window. I said, "Who cleaned my cup?" It took me another couple years to get that thing conditioned. Can I tell you something? We have to understand that the power makes us different. It's not living different that gives us the power. We ought to dress like a Christian, because we have the power of God and we're a son of God, but dressing different doesn't give you the power of God. Yes, sir. We ought to listen to the right music because we have the power of God, but listening to the right music does not give you the power of God. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm having fun right now. We ought to be with the right people, not because it gives us the power of God, but because we have the power of God. You wouldn't struggle with listening to the wrong things, watching the wrong things, seeing the wrong things, hearing the wrong things, reading the wrong things, if you lived with the power of God in your life. Ouch. The closer we get to God, the farther from the world we get.
The purpose of separation is to break off those things that keep you from getting close to God so that you can get closer to Him. It has nothing to do with wearing a badge saying, I'm a Christian. It's kind of like the guys that want to go soul winning and carry their family Bible right there. Look at me. Those people are just weird. I carry my switchblade when I go soul winning, amen? I'll carry it. I'm not afraid of it. You want to get a seat in an airport? Take your Bible with you, open it up, and all the Muslims leave. Poof! I'm not kidding. I was at Dulles one night waiting on somebody and sat down and had Muslim on that side, Muslim on that side. And I was working on a sermon. I popped my Bible open, started working, and both of them got up and walked away. Older lady walked over, sat down next to me. She said, now I know why they left. I said, what do you mean, ma'am? She said, those are Muslims. You had a Bible. I said, well, I thought I took a shower today. And she started laughing. She said, it's okay, you got me a seat. She said, you must be a preacher. I said, yes, ma'am. She was a saved Christian lady. She said, I thought it was funny. She said, that was pretty good. She said, I learned something. I'll bring my Bible to the airport. I'll get a seat anytime I want. I was laughing. I'm sorry. I thought it was funny. You say, does that bother you? No. You see, the closer you get to God, the farther from the world you'll be. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, we're just passing through here. We might as well get closer to God because eternity is a lot longer than life down here.
Yes, sir.
This is why church doesn't need to bring the worldly ways into the church. A church that's too much like the world will not reach people for God. Well, you got to get down to their level to reach them. No, you don't. Oh, back in the 80s, and I won't give the guy's name because I'm a Christian. But there was a famous man that preached a lot to teenagers. And he had a youth department in Florida. And he was a soul-winning man for a while, but he started loosening the standards. Then he started taking his teenager soul-winning to the beach. He had his beach ministry. Now, his teenagers were out on the beach dressed like I am right now at first. But I'm here to tell you, there ain't no teenage boy that can go soul-winning on the beach with a bunch of naked women running around with less than underwear on that's going to stay spiritual very long. Before too long, they weren't wearing ties anymore. Or coats. Should I tell you what happened after that? Then they started going soul winning in their bathing suits. How in the world do you carry a Bible around that way? And I don't want to know. When he first started it, I separated from him. I said, that guy's going a wrong direction in a hurry. Guess what? He doesn't even believe in soul winning. Let me show you what I mean. If you cross up wires, the power doesn't work right. If Brother Barnes or Brother Lopez undid one of these light switches and crisscrossed the wires in there, the light won't work right. You say, why them? Because I'm not touching it. Did you know if your wires aren't wired directly the right way, there's no power that can flow? We are to be like a wire that we are connected to God and we are in the world and let the power of God flow through us. And we're to be insulated so that it doesn't affect everybody that touches us in the process. Now watch this. You can't run worldly power on saved power lines. And you can't run saved power lines in worldly power. You'll be one or the other. Everybody get that? You hook up to the wrong power source, guess what? You're going to get that power. So bringing the world's power into the church does not make the church more effective. It makes it more worldly. Bringing the world's music with religious words to it does not make it Christian rock. It's still rock and roll, and it's still of the devil and wrong.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
sir. You see, you're hooked to the wrong power source. It's got to be hooked that way, not that way. Having the right wires is good, but you have to be hooked up to the right power source. You're saved. You have the right wiring, but you're hooked up to the wrong source. Let's get connected to the right power. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, dynamite, dunamis, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You're a child of God. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Let me read a verse to you, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Listen to this. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. God gave you this power so we could be witnesses of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is for people to get saved, not to be a show, not just to say you have power, not to go around zapping people with it. It is for you so that we can see people get saved in our lives and in our ministry. The power of God is worthless if people aren't getting saved. I'm for feeding hungry people, but you can feed all the hungry bellies you want, and if you don't give them the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell full. I'm for giving people medicine and shots because they're sick, but if you don't give them the gospel, what good is it? Everybody understand? We have the power of God for us so that we see people get saved. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to work through us to do what we cannot do and speak to the heart of people so that the gospel can be given to them so that they will receive it. There were people that walked into a funeral yesterday. The last thing on their mind was getting saved. But they heard the gospel and the power of God with the Holy Spirit of God, and at least 15 of them walked out on their way to heaven. Say, what is that? That's called the power of God. Not for me, but for the gospel's sake. And that's the way it is to be in all of our lives and in our work. Let's use the power to get out and reach a lost world that is dying and going to hell. It's that simple. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Title of the sermon, He Gave Us Power. Let me ask you a question. Are you using it? Are you living like you're on your way to heaven or living like you're on your way to hell? We have the power as sons of God. How are we living it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I'd love to see God get a hold of each and every one of us. And we would beg down the power of God, and we would see God work through us. We would ask the Holy Spirit on a regular basis to fill us so that we could help reach people.